you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. Hi, I'm Rob West. With Father's Day approaching, we're asking a deeper question. What kind of legacy are we leaving as men, as dads, and as stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Jonathan Lewis from Fathers for Fathers is here to talk about that today. We're talking fatherhood, faith, and financial discipleship that shapes generations. Then on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I'm delighted to have my friend Jonathan Lewis with us today. He's president of Eastport Financial Group and the founder of Fathers for Fathers. He's a great friend. Fathers for Fathers is a faith-based organization that restores hope, healing, and purpose in the lives of men, especially fathers. Jonathan, great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Rob.
We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, I like your studio, man. You know it.
I'm glad that you're on the other end of the mic today, and I'm even more excited about our topic, especially with Father's Day just around the corner. So I want to back up, and why don't we start by just giving you a chance to share a bit about your story and how God used that story to ultimately allow you to launch the ministry.
Yeah, I mean, Revelation 12:11 says they'll know us by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. And so, 34 years ago, if you told a 15-year-old kid when he dragged his dead dad to a beach in the North Atlantic in Nova Scotia that God would, 34 years later, take that story and all the brokenness that ensued in the wake of that and turn it into such a victory story with Fathers for Fathers, that 15-year-old kid wouldn't have believed you and probably wouldn't have cared because I was so broken up over the loss of my dad and the guilt that I carried onto that beach that day that I had not successfully been able to save him. And there was a lot of wreckage in the wake of those years, Rob. I couch surfed, slept in my car, bounced around. Somehow, by the grace of God, did not end up in some kind of an institution other than the Canadian Armed Forces. That was the institution I ended up in, and that probably saved me and taught me discipline. And fast forward to today, and all those war wounds and scars have given me a tremendous energy to go after men and to really dig deep with them, not take a passive victim mindset answer as a brush off. And my wife would say, Jonathan is like a hot knife through butter when it comes to broken men. And I know it's because of the Holy Spirit and just the fact that I love these guys and I can see them for what they are.
What does success look like, Jonathan, for dads that are listening today that they want to be successful, but it's more than that. They really want to be a faithful father.
Well, first of all, your story is not done. If you're still breathing, and for some guys, they might be questioning whether they even want to do that. I can remember a period of my life where I was so low that the pain was so deep, I thought the only way to stop the pain was to end my life. And so for the guys listening, if you're out there and you're really struggling with, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't even know how to get the energy to want to live my life or go to work. You can do it, but you can't do it alone. That's the hard rub here, guys. We are wired to want to withdraw and try and do it on our own. 84% of men, Rob, out there would say they don't have one guy to talk to. Did you know that stat?
No.
That is disturbing.
Yeah.
And so you're not alone, but you need to reach out. You need to try and find guys. And for the guys that have an element of their footing, and maybe you've grown up in the church, or maybe you have good groups that you're part of, I would encourage you to look for these guys. They're not hard to spot. And don't take the first 12 no's as a brush off. Lean in on them. They want to be pursued. They're just broken.
Well, we're going to continue to unpack this. There's a lot to talk about today. What does that faithful father role look like? What if you're carrying shame and regret? Where do you go from here? What if you feel like you've missed your chance? And then let's press into the stewardship aspect of it. What does it look like to really articulate and model biblical financial stewardship? And that certainly includes financial stewardship, but it goes beyond that into how we model values and priorities and trust in God. We're talking with Jonathan Lewis today. He's the president of Eastport Financial Group, but he's also the founder of Fathers for Fathers. If you want to learn more, just head to their website, fathersforfathers.org. Again, fathersforfathers.org. We'll be back much more right around the corner as we think about Father's Day coming up on Sunday. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
John 17 gives us a wonderful window into the heart of Jesus. His high priestly prayer shows us how much he cares for his disciples, for the church, and for the world. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus wasn't simply thinking of himself, he was praying for us. He asked the Father to protect, to sanctify, and unite his people. But Jesus prayed for something else as well. In John 17, 13, Jesus prays to the Father, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." And the joy of Jesus can be yours as you abide in him. Get more encouragement for your walk with Jesus at haventoday.org.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Wondering who Faith and Finance recommends as a banking partner that aligns with Christian values? It's Christian Community Credit Union. When you open a high-yield checking, savings, or Visa cash back card, you'll help advance the gospel when making everyday transactions. Visit faithfi.com/banking and use code FAITHFI when you sign up. That's faithfi.com/banking with code FAITHFI. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Jonathan Lewis. He's the founder of Fathers for Fathers, a faith-based organization that restores hope, healing, and purpose in the lives of men, especially fathers. And Jonathan, with Father's Day right around the corner, obviously this is something on the minds and the hearts of a lot of our listeners. And you mentioned something before the break. You said many men carry silent shame or regret as it relates to their role as fathers. How do you encourage dads who feel like they've failed or maybe they've missed their chance?
Well, the funny thing is I always remind them that their story's not over. You know, in our immersive study we're working on, especially for our American audience, football is always a good analogy. And we basically say to guys, hey, the day you were born onto a football field. And you can't get off the field. You can't leave the game. You got to play. And the question is which team are you going to play for? And the terrible rub is you're born playing for the other team, the wrong team. Let's call it the red and black team. But there's this invitation to come over and play for the winning team. And I think often guys suffer from passivity and victimhood, and we just get caught in our own internal dialogue where we beat ourselves down and we start rehearsing our failures. And it's amazing how we can spend all our time in our own depreciation room, literally beating ourselves up instead of actually recognizing a lot of God-given strengths that God's given us. And so it's never too late to peel off the jersey and say, I want to play for the other team. It does require contrition, Rob. It requires acknowledging that you've made some mistakes, and it requires a substitute. Someone has to be willing to put on that jersey for you. And thankfully, Jesus Christ already said, I already did that. You just got to accept the offer. And so the challenge is to get in the game and get in the game on the right side of the field.
And often that involves starting small, taking that next step.
Yes.
You talk about restoring purpose and responsibility. What's a small step a father can take today who's hearing you talk and saying, I want that, to live more intentionally?
All right. Well, I'm going to pick on the guys that fit my profile. So I'm a divorced dad. In the U.S. alone, there's 24 million men who are not in their kids' lives. So, and it is painful. I've talked to thousands of men who are not actively engaged in their kids' lives. And you know what the common theme is, Rob? They want to be.
Yeah.
They don't want to be an absent dad. And they will start telling you all the reasons why they can't be there, or they've messed up, or there's just no way. And what I can say emphatically, and I have faced this, God will honor you when you honor him. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. He said, you're less than a believer who doesn't provide for your own family. So, for example, there's some hard truths here. If you're a dad who's not in your kids' lives, but you also haven't been supporting their mom, start.
Yeah.
Right? Own it. If you are a man who has battled with some sin in your life and you've kept it secret, don't do it anymore. Find a guy who's a mentor, who loves you, and get clear and confess that sin to him. It's hard. It's hard because here's the problem, and this is why you don't want to do it, because then you have to do something after that, and it's called be accountable and change. So you have to want to get in the fight, get in the game. But we can't keep going like this. You know, if you look at the downstream of all the issues that are going on in our society, you could pretty much trace them all back to the pandemic, and I call it a pandemic, of fatherlessness.
Yeah.
And so, guys, my plea, this whole ministry is about encouraging you, not beating you up, but encouraging you to get the gloves on and get in the game. And if you're out, get back in, right? Brush yourself off. My dad, when I was growing up, he used to say, you're fine, rub some dirt in it, which we all know is a way to stop the bleeding. There's a bit of truth there. You're fine. Rub some dirt in it. But get yourself around guys that are spiritually mature, and they'll encourage you. But you got to be willing to be accountable.
Yeah. Boy, that's so good. Let's combine this with your day job. I mentioned at the outset of the program that you are the president of Eastport Financial Group. So you counsel families entrusted with much to hold it loosely and to see that as a part of their role as a steward of God's resources, to give it generously, to invest it strategically. Combine that with this role of being intentional as a dad. What does that look like to really model financial stewardship in your legacy?
Yeah, I mean, to me, stewardship is all one and the same. So whether you're being generous with money and not generous with love, or generous with your spirit, generous with your time, then you're missing the point. And so, you know, people always hear me talk about Ephesians 5:26. Paul's imploring men and women to be mutually submitted to each other. And, you know, he says to the men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, being prepared to present her on the day of judgment. And guys will always say, oh, yeah, well, no, I love my wife. And if there was a proverbial bullet, I would take it for her. It's like, no, that's not what he's talking about, though. Jesus died for the church. He wants you to die to your flesh. So if you really want to be a man of God who's going to steward everything he's entrusted you with, well, it starts with your wife first, right? Or the mother of your children. But one way or the other, you got to steward that. And the way you steward is dying to your flesh. I talked to a bunch of guys in a men's retreat last weekend about the appreciation room and the depreciation room of our wives. Board up the depreciation room. Write the list down, light it on fire, and you should only be spending time in the appreciation room for that woman. And then from there, the stewardship trickles down. You know, make sure you're managing your finances well for your family. Make sure you're living up to the expectations. Go to work, right? Paul said work is good. I had to say it, but the Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. I actually agree with that. Yeah. Like, so it's about stepping up and stewarding everything God's entrusted us with.
That's so good. I'd love for you, we're about out of time here today, but I'd love for you to pray for the dads that are listening right now on the radio. Some of them discouraged. Some feel like they have failed. Others feel like they're getting it done, but there's more. And I'd love for you just to pray a blessing over them as we prepare for Father's Day this weekend.
Thanks, man. Heavenly Father, there's always some guy out there that this is meant for. He probably maybe doesn't listen to this channel, and he's just tuned into it or whatever. And here he finds himself with some crazy guy from northeastern Canada praying for him right now. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit through me would touch his heart. I pray that you would challenge him in what you would like to see him do, how he would step up. Only he knows that right now, Lord, whether it's in the area of fatherhood or his finances or I don't know, Lord. He could be having wandering eyes, and you're convicting him right now. I pray that he would really cry out to you, and I know you'll meet him. You say that. I pray Romans 8 over the men listening to this. At the very end of that chapter, Paul says, what can separate us from you, Lord? And he goes on to say, nothing. Nothing can separate us. And so, Lord, draw these men in. Let them know that even their sin does not separate them from your love. And I pray that they would just bring that in. And they would recognize that Jesus Christ was sent by you on the greatest rescue mission of all time. Yes. And what's scandalous, Lord, is you would have sent Jesus if it was just one guy.
Wow.
That's scandalous grace, Lord. And I thank you that you sent him for all of us. Amen.
Amen. Jonathan, grateful for you. Happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you.
That's Jonathan Lewis. He's with Fathers for Fathers. If you want to learn more, head to their website, fathersforfathers.org. Again, that's fathersforfathers.org. A lot of resources there that you can take advantage of. I hope you'll heed that counsel and be encouraged today as we prepare for Father's Day just a couple of days down the road. A quick break and back with your questions after this. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney Empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today, but grateful for my friend Jonathan Lewis. Delighted he was able to join us today as we prepare for Father's Day to celebrate dads and to recognize that each of us as dads are on a journey, and the key is about surrendering to God's purposes and finding our identity in Christ and then leaning into this incredible blessing that God has given us to be fathers. But now we want to turn the corner and tackle what's going on in your financial life today, and recognizing you're a steward. Anyone who's listening to this program is managing whatever resources God has entrusted to you or to me. It all belongs to Him. We want to be found faithful, not only in fatherhood, but in money management and stewardship. And so together each day we do that on this program. And the only thing left is for you to call. So here's the number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We would love to dive into whatever questions you have in your financial life today. The topics are yours, so we can talk about debt repayment. We can talk about giving. We can talk about budgeting and spending plans, perhaps investing for the future, especially today in light of the market selling off. And that's where we'll begin today before we head to the phones. Again, that number, this is the time to call, 800-525-7000 with any financial question. But in the news, as you might expect, markets took a slide this morning after the opening bell as investors reacted to Israel's overnight airstrikes on Iran. Reports have Israeli jets taking out key command and control facilities there in Tehran, as well as several nuclear processing sites around the country. And those attacks are expected to continue today. Not hit, at least so far, are Iran's oil production and refining facilities, which could be putting a brake on the market slide this morning. So far, the S&P 500 is down just over 60 points, off about 1%. Then the Dow Jones down about 660 points, off about 1.5%. The NASDAQ down 1.3%, off 260 points. We'll continue to watch it through the day. And Jerry Boyer stops by in our final segment, along with Walker Wildman. We'll get Jerry's reading on the markets and the economy and what he expects to be the fallout of all of this. That's in our final segment today. But let's head to the phones. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now. The calls are coming in, but at least at this moment, Pat is standing by and we've got some lines open. So if you have a question today, now's the time to get in the queue. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's begin in Wisconsin today. Hi, Ethel. How can I serve you?
Hi, Mr. West. I have a question about a quick claim deed I have in place since 2011. My understanding was I have three children. After their father died, then I had this done. And my understanding was that we all each own it. Yes. One of us cannot sell without the signatures of the others. So I thought that when I go to heaven, it just belonged to them, and I would have to do nothing. I heard you speak to a lady about quick claim deed and something like a transfer of death form, and so I need some clarification so that sometimes I think I should just sell the house before I die. So it would be easier for them. I don't want to leave them something that they're going to have to pay a lot of money on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly do. Let me just answer specifically those two questions, and then we'll talk about just generally the idea of transferring ownership by way of a quitclaim deed to heirs. So if you've added your kids to the title using a quitclaim deed, now you all together legally own the property. So yes, everyone listed would have to sign off on a sale or even a refinance. And then when you pass, your portion doesn't go through the probate. Typically, it would automatically belong to the surviving owners if it's titled joint tenancy with right of survivorship. The better option typically is to not do the quitclaim deed and to do something called a transfer on death deed. And here's why. With the quitclaim deed, the heirs, your children, have inherited your cost basis, which just simply means if they sell it, they'll have to pay the capital gains, that is the gain or the increase in value of the property. That's the difference between what they ultimately sell it for, let's say after you pass away, the difference between that selling price and your original purchase price, which is, you know, probably quite a bit lower. And then the difference between that amount is considered the capital gain, and then they would likely pay capital gain taxes on it. If instead they inherit the property after your death, meaning they don't have legal ownership of it now, but they inherit it by way of either a transfer on death deed or a revocable trust, well, then they're going to get what's called a step up in basis. That means that the new basis will be the property's fair market value as of the date of death. That just simply means if they were to sell it in a relatively short period of time after your passing, there would probably not be any gain because the difference between the market value as of the date of death and the selling price would be, you know, negligible, if any. And so they would not have any taxes that would be owed. And so the two instruments that are typically used for that purpose, if you're wanting to pass it efficiently outside of probate so they don't have to wait for the probate court to get involved, is, again, called a transfer on death deed, not a quitclaim deed. So that just means that the property is immediately going to go to your heirs with that step up in basis, and the triggering event would be your death. It would take effect only upon death. But it would bypass probate. The second option, which is going to be a little more costly to you now, would be to put a revocable trust in place. So that would, if you went that route, it would involve them essentially returning full ownership to you by way of another quitclaim deed, which would be considered a gift. And then you could put the TOD, the transfer on death deed, in place, or the trust, to allow them to get the step up in basis to save capital gains taxes, but also to avoid probate and make sure they get the property quickly and efficiently after death. Now, I'm sure you have questions, so let's follow up on that right after this break. Ethel, stay right there. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Right now, more people than ever are looking for biblical wisdom to navigate their finances, and you can help meet that need. When you become a FaithFi partner, you're equipping believers to trust God, steward His resources well, and live with kingdom purpose. Partners receive early access to our newest resources, our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, and the pro version of the FaithFi app. Become a FaithFi partner with your gift of $35 a month or $400 a year at faithfi.com/partner.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment today, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman stop by. We'll get Jerry's take on the markets. The market selling off, at least at the open, as a result of the Israel striking Iran. Oil prices are spiking, despite the fact that at least to this point, they've stayed away from the oil refineries and the attacks. But just the unrest there in the Middle East is causing the U.S. markets to sell off. We'll get Jerry's take on that straight ahead. In the meantime, before the break, we were talking to Ethel in Wisconsin. Ethel, I shared with you why usually it's not the best idea to use a quitclaim deed. Instead, use other tools to preserve that step up in basis and save taxes upon the sale, but also to provide for the efficient transfer of the real estate upon your death, bypassing probate. Give me any follow-up questions or thoughts you have.
Oh, I don't know if I have any. Let's tell me more, like how I have it right now in place for the children. When I die, then they automatically own it.
Well, they own it now, because if you did a quit claim deed, you relinquished portion.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, of the ownership. Okay, so they own it now. And then your portion, so let's say you own a third or a quarter, whatever it is, your portion, depending upon how the property is titled, if it is titled joint tenants with right of survivorship, then your portion would be passed to the other owners upon your death. If it's tenants in common, then your portion would pass according to your will. But their portion, they already own, and they would continue to own not only during your life, but after death, but it is going to involve them inheriting your original cost basis. That is your purchase price originally with regard to what capital gains tax they will pay on the portion they received by way of the quit claim deed.
What if the gains was say like $20,000 to $25,000 is all?
So the difference between what they would sell it for at your death and what you originally paid for it, what did you buy it for?
Oh, I don't remember, but on the information that our tax man made this up, I started to look for those papers.
Okay.
$38,684.
That's what you think you bought it for originally?
I think so, yes.
And what do you think it's worth today?
Like 58.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, they would have to, so for a single filer, you know, they'd have up to 47,000 in combined income before they would start to pay, you know, capital gains. Over 40,000, they'd pay about 15% on the difference. If they're married, they'd have up to 94,000 in combined income. So they'd add up all their income and then they'd add their portion of the gain. And then if the total of that, if they're married filing jointly, was over 94,000, then they'd pay 15% on that $20,000 or their portion of it. So it's not going to be a whole lot of money. So it's one thing to consider. And at this point, you know, they, because you've already transferred it, if there's not going to be a whole lot owed in the way of capital gains, it may not be worth your while to try to unwind this. Because, you know, you've accomplished the purpose for which you set out, which was to make it really simple for them to take control of the property at your death, which this allows that to happen because they essentially already control it now.
Yeah, that kind of was my understanding. I didn't, yeah. didn't he had, I've got a note on my papers that he said 13,000 each exemption. No gift tax need be filed.
Yeah, yeah. So he's probably talking about the annual gift exclusion, you know, which for 2025 has gone up. It's $19,000, but the year in which you made that, did the quit claim deed, it was lower. So it's probably that amount, whatever you said, maybe 14,000. So that allowed you to transfer. You know, do the quit claim deed, give them each their portion, and you didn't even have to let the IRS know about it because you were below the annual gift exclusion. So you're probably in good shape. I think the only question is just whether or not you want to understand more fully whether there's going to be any capital gains. But given the limited amount of capital gain that would be there, they're probably not going to owe anything. And if they did, it'd be a fairly small amount. So I think you're in good shape. If you have further questions, I'd go back to that attorney that did it in the first place. But sounds like you're doing a great job managing all this, Ethel. And if we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Mississippi. Hi, Chris. How can I help?
Yes, good morning, Rob. This is Chris.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering what your opinions are on closed-end funds as a passive income stream. I've dabbled in that a little bit. Not a huge amount of money in there, but I just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah. You know, I think they can be very effective for folks specifically that are looking for income. And obviously that's your situation. So they offer typically higher distributions than traditional mutual funds or ETFs. And there's additional potential value because they can trade at a discount to the net asset value. But they do tend to be a little bit more risky. You know, in the sense that, you know, compared to the typical dividend focused mutual fund, there is some added risk because they trade like stocks. So therefore, as I said, the price, you know, can sell at a discount, but it also can sell at a premium based on, you know, the actual value of the assets, whereas the mutual funds always redeem at the net asset value, the total outstanding shares, you know, divided by the holdings. So there's never any surprises. There can also be some leverage risk because they can borrow to boost the income, which magnifies not only the gains, but also the losses. Mutual funds rarely do that. The higher payouts can include a return of capital, not just income, and that can eat into your original investment without you realizing it. And then they're more thinly traded, so there's just not as much volume, which can lead to price swings, whereas mutual funds are bought and sold directly through the fund company at the end of the day. But as long as you understand the risks, understand there's a little more volatility, you know, it can be great because, again, they offer a higher income potential, which I know is what you're looking for. So, you know, I'm not against them as long as you understand, you know, what you're getting into.
Right. Yeah. And I think that I've delved into that enough to where I have a fairly good understanding of it.
Okay.
The return of capital, I guess I didn't. I mean, I understand that it's there for some of them. I just haven't seen how that has impacted my initial investment on it. It seems like my cost basis is still the same, even though some of the distributions involve return of capital. When I look at it in my Schwab account, it seems like the cost basis, it hasn't changed. Yeah. Maybe like I thought that it would.
Yeah, it does reduce your cost basis. So when the fund is paying you back part of your original investment, not just the earnings, you know, when you eventually sell the fund, you'll pay capital gains tax on the difference between the sale price and the adjusted cost basis. That's not automatically bad. It can be a tax efficient way to get income, but too much return of capital may signal the fund's not earning enough and erode your capital to sustain the distribution. So just understand the implications of that. But no, I think you're on the right track. Sounds like you understand what you've got and it's working for you. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. So let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman are with us here in this final segment today. You know Walker well, leading here at AFA and AFR. Jerry Boyer is our resident economist. They join us each Friday with market and economic insights, along with updates on the work of AFA and corporate engagement. We'll get to the market. Obviously, the market's selling off today as a result of Israel's strikes in Iran. Oil prices are spiking. We'll get Jerry's take on all of that straight ahead. But first, let's start with corporate engagement. It's been a few weeks. Jerry, set the stage on what you and the team at AFA have been working on.
Well, we've kind of come to the almost to the end of the season. AFA had a very successful season. In fact, the top vote getter in sort of our coalition of those who are, you know, concerned about issues like religious liberty, you know, non-discrimination on the basis of faith, sex trafficking, that sort of thing. The top vote getter that I'm aware of, and I tracked this pretty carefully, was AFA's proposal at Apple, which got almost 9%. Wow. There's been a real backlash against what we're doing. And so proposals coming from our side have actually gotten very low vote counts this year because the proxy advisory services are basically, you know, coming down on the hard left right now with their benchmark policies. So a proposal that says something like, we want you to talk about the risk of paying for sexual transition treatments for minors, which would be a 90% support with the American people. Yes, we want to know more about the risk of this. What are you doing? Gets 1% support in proxy voting. And that shows how completely corrupt. It's essentially a North Korea system, right? If people win elections with 55%, hey, you want an election. If you win with 99%, who's counting the votes?
Right.
So those are my two big observations. But I think this strong moral outrage over sex abuse material online was enough that it even caused some people who do not typically agree with our team to come along and say, hey, Apple, and that was AFA, and there was another one that was Meta, which was another partner, Instagram, you need to give a fuller account. So I would say that was that. Those are major highlights.
Yeah, no doubt. Walker, that has to be an incredible encouragement to you and the work that you're doing, huh?
Yeah, it is encouraging. And one other encouraging thing is that we're really just getting started. I mean, this was only our second season, if you will, shareholder season, to engage with Jerry and his team on getting some of these proposals presented. So we're really just getting started. And there's a broad coalition of not just AFA, but other ministries and organizations around the country that total billions of dollars in assets and shares that are beginning to get engaged. So I think really things are just only going to improve from here. And to Jerry's point, you know, getting that 9% at that Apple shareholder vote was a big deal. And I think we can even get more if we engage and educate other shareholders on how to vote their shares. So I think there's just a lot of upside here. And I think these corporate boardrooms are beginning to pay attention to the conservative coalition's proposals.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. Walker, I know the season, this particular earnings season and shareholder and meetings are coming to an end, but as you look out and looking forward, is there anything in particular that's on the horizon that you're excited about?
Yeah, Jerry mentioned the CSAM material, the child sexual abuse material, which is illegal material, by the way, that these platforms are turning a blind eye to. Some of them are knowingly allowing it on their platforms, but refusing to take action, the reasoning of which is beyond me. But we're going to focus in on that heavily because pornography plays into this. Pornography leads to child sexual abuse material. That's the data proves that 100%. So this effort to protect minors, to protect children, and ultimately protect everyone from this explicit pornographic obscene material, it's a very bipartisan effort and topic that many people agree on. And so I think we're going to hone in on that in the next season. And, of course, we'll have other proposals as well on other topics. But protecting children seems to be a very, very, coalition-type effort that many people agree with.
Yeah. Jerry, what other issues are front burner for you right now?
Well, I think we need to continue the fight on debanking. A number of banks have moved in the right direction. In fact, some of the largest banks. But there are a shocking number of regional banks, many of which have many conservative clients, maybe are disproportionately in the South or Midwest, that are still imitating the bad example of these banks from 4 or 5 years ago. We've engaged, for instance, with Truist a lot. That's a bank that has a very Southern footprint, a lot of conservative Christian clients that absolutely blocked any change whatsoever. On the issue of debanking, and was frankly really misleading with the things that they said to us, said a lot of inaccurate things to us. So I think it's time to take the examples of the JP Morgan Chases or the Morgan Stanleys or whatever, that have had good positive statements. We're not going to discriminate in banking based on religious viewpoint or political viewpoint and say, okay, the rest of you need to follow the gold standard. So I think that's a big topic. There's another one that some people might not think is in that moral area, but I think it really is. There's a real confluence between the pro-abortion agenda, the anti-energy agenda, and the anti-food production agenda. There are just a lot of people who believe that 8 billion people is too many, and it ought to be a whole lot fewer people. And that tends to go together with the war on fossil fuels, which is now switching to becoming a war on agriculture. So there's been a real spike in what's called, quote, agricultural management proposals. That's what the industry calls it. They're really agricultural micromanagement, where people are trying to basically impose carbon limits or other limits. They're basically telling farmers, you don't know how to do it right. I saw a documentary. I know how farming should be done. And by the way, we're producing too much beef. We're producing too much pork. We need to eat crickets. We need to eat Beyond Beef. We need to eat fake meat. A lot of that agenda is coming through, and that's essentially pressuring. They don't try to pressure the farmers. The farmers are going to say, No. What they do is they try to pressure like the fast food companies or the restaurants to impose this stuff, to impose, quote, sustainability. Sustainability should mean we're making enough food for people. For them, sustainability means make less food, make fewer people. And we really need to be dealing with that issue. And it's sneaky and it's very nefarious.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible, Jerry, the work that you're doing. And Walker, it really, you know, we can't overstate how significant this is. I mean, we think about the work of AFA Action. You know, there are tools that have been in the tool belt going all the way back to your grandfather, but this is a new one, and it's playing a pivotal role in shaping culture, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is. And this is, there, as I mentioned earlier, I can't say it enough how much upside there still is yet to come here, because, you know, this coalition of like-minded organizations and individuals around the country that are beginning to actually show up at shareholder meetings is a really big deal, and it's something that the left has used for some time now. Jerry knows this very well, and so I think conservatives showing up at these meetings and voting their shares and presenting proposals. I just think there's a ton of upside here, and we're just getting started. I mean, we're like in the first inning of this movement, and so the more time that goes by, the more organized we'll be, the more we'll be able to educate your common shareholder, your average shareholder, on how to participate in meetings and have their vote heard. And so I'm just really excited about this opportunity, and I want to thank Jerry and all the other dozens of organizations out there and individuals that have decided to make this a priority.
Yeah, that's well said. Jerry, with our remaining moment.
I want to thank Walker for being first over the wall.
Yes.
Because a lot of ministries are doing it now, but there was a first.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And the influence of AFA is massive in this space. Jerry, let's take just a moment and allow you to comment on the markets. Obviously, the Dow and S&P off today, but modestly. You know, it sounds like, at least to this point, the oil fields haven't been hit, but... you know, just any kind of unrest to this magnitude in the Middle East is shaking the markets. And I'd love for you just to kind of weigh in on what you're seeing.
Yeah, today's trade is all about the strike against Iran nuclear capacity, which I believe is a risk reducer in the long run, not a risk increaser. But whenever you have a military strike of this magnitude, there's going to be a certain risk perception. But really, the big risk in the Middle East wasn't that Israel would hit Iran, it's that Iran would start a nuclear war. So we're seeing, you know, gold is up, and it's already been going up for some of the other reasons, and oil's up. But, you know, oil's up a lot less than it could be, you know, given that we have essentially a war going on right now in the Middle East between two major powers. But that's what the trade is going to be about. And I mean, before that, the trade was, hey, the president seems to have been making deals with these other countries. We came to a very pro-growth resolution. I mean, the president has always had two sets of advisors. One set says, we basically want to change our relationship with the whole world. We're going to have a trade war with the whole world, even our allies. Another group said, we need to focus this. And our goal is not to have a trade war. Our goal is to use this as a tactic to open markets up. The rhetoric from the president for weeks now has been open up markets. So let's use these as negotiating tools to say to China, open up. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for us. So markets were loving that. And I think they were right to love that. So that's been kind of the major story. The Fed has not been the story that much.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm glad for that. I would rather markets trade on whether we have pro or anti-growth policies rather than trade on whether we can get the central bank to goose the markets. So I'm pretty happy with where things are going. Obviously, we want to pray for a good resolution to the war, but so far, I think things are looking pretty good for the American economy. We're going to get a little slowdown, but I think things are generally looking pretty good.
We'll take it. That's well said, Jerry. Thanks for that update. Walker, Jerry, so thankful for you gentlemen and all the incredible work you're doing. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's Jerry Boyer, Walker Wildman. I'm Rob West. On behalf of Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, and everybody here at FaithFi, thanks for joining us. Happy Father's Day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.